Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 100, Zach Giglio, Leadership and Sweeping the Shed. Here's a shout out to listeners in Northern Ireland, Mexico City, Mexico, Bangladesh, and Albania. With that, let's get started. If you need help with a communication, Zach is the professional you would want to talk to. He's had more than a decade experience in public relations, public affairs, marketing, and marketing both digital and social media. He's worked for some of the largest public relations agencies, but he runs his own now called Giglio Communications and Marketing, GCM for short. One communication expert describes Zach this way. Zach is equal parts tenacious and thoughtful. He has a track record of creating compelling stories and campaigns that demand attention based on his deep knowledge of the business drivers that create success for his partners and clients. Zach is the leader companies want in their corner because, simply, he has the experience, skills, humility, and humor to make every team stronger and more effective. Part 1, Customer Alignment. To be an effective professional, you need to shift from reacting to the moment to working from principles. When you have a strong understanding of what your principles are, you're able to navigate and be more effective in the work that you do. Zach shares a story that really gets at this principle concept in a situation that happened to him earlier in his career. Here's Zach to explain.
I started in DC, my comms career in DC. In about 2009 or 2010, I received a piece of information then that the more I think about it and the more I grow our business and do the work that I do, the more I realized how profound and impactful it actually was and how lucky I was to receive it when I did. I started at a boutique public affairs company in DC, not far off of K Street, where all the other influential kind of shops are that deal with big pieces of legislation. I'd done pretty well and I'd made it through being a temp worker and was kind of moving up and getting excited for the new career that I had and was asked to join the CEO and founder of the company in a big pitch meeting. And this pitch meeting was with CVS. And so I was very nervous, very excited, and went with my boss. I did a lot of preparation. We had meetings before. I did research. We had assembled this entire presentation based on a series of events that we had organized in favor of this one issue. And this series of events were done in places like Alaska and Nebraska and in other states that actually don't even rhyme. I just realized those two rhyme, but really kind of all over the country. And so we were really proud of the work that had been done and we had great video to showcase it. And it was our plan to walk into this pitch meeting, show the video, answer some questions and walk out feeling pretty good. And so we get into the meeting. And literally the first thing the person that we're pitching says is, I'm excited to talk to you today. I just want to make sure you don't show me X. And X was exactly the presentation that we had prepared. It included all these events. And she specifically said that she didn't want to see any events like the ones that we had prepared for her presentation.
I'm sure your mouth dropped.
My heart sank. I think now I might be able to play a little bit cool. But then I was mortified. I mean, I was looking for the exit. I couldn't imagine how. I mean, me, you know, having started relatively recently from that moment, I had nowhere to go. And so I basically just tried to close my mouth and look over at my boss and see where he was going to go with this. The words he says was, I know you don't want to see these kinds of events, but I'm going to show you anyway. And now I'm even more mortified than I was 2 seconds before that.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to take out his computer, hook it up, spend time getting everything ready and show her these events. After the video was over and the presentation was over, it was very quick, polite. Thank you very much for coming. And we walked out the door. Obviously, we were never going to hear from them again. And so I asked my boss the second we hit the street and we're out of public earshot, I said, if she said to you, I'll see anything, but I don't want to see that. And then you show her the exact thing that she said she didn't want to see. Why would you do something like that? He said, because in life and in business, you have to figure out who you are and what you got and go with that. And there'll be people who will want to come close to that. And there'll be people who will stay away. And either way, it's good for you to know who both those people are. I remember thinking that somehow made a tremendous amount of sense I still wish I hadn't been mortified as much as I was during that thing. But to think about being so comfortable with who you are and the work that you do and what you want to present, that you're very happy for someone to look at you in the face and tell you that they don't want you and they don't want you to show them what you do, and still say, well, I'm going to do it anyway because this is who I am.
There's some integrity with going in and saying, this is who I am. This is who we are. This is what we do. If that's not what you want, then we don't need to move forward.
That's exactly right. What I learned in that moment too, is that there's a benefit. I remember thinking up until that point, all I wanted to do was impress, right? I was knocking on doors in DC, trying to find jobs, trying to make my way and get my career started. And all I wanted to do was try to impress other people. And so I was always trying to figure out, what do I think would impress that person to get them to hire me or to get them to do this or that? And what he taught me in that moment was, it is equally as important and beneficial to understand what people don't like about you or what people don't want that you can offer, or maybe they don't even like you as a person, rather than putting on some facade or trying to dance through hoops for each other. And you get, I mean, you know this, you get a few months down the road and it wasn't a good fit to begin with. And why did you try to make it work? And it was just such a clear example of being willing to kind of die on your own hill and being comfortable with that. And I remember thinking, like, there's no way I'm anywhere close to being comfortable with doing something like that myself, but that it was something that I wanted to aspire to be, that I wanted to be comfortable enough with myself and with what I had to offer, that I was just as happy as somebody saying they didn't want me or my work as I would be with somebody saying that they did.
I had something very similar happen where the results was the opposite. I went into a meeting with a design team to work with them, and there were content experts, and I was supposed to develop some training. One of them said, oh gosh, the last thing I want to see right now is a PowerPoint about a process, which was, and so it threw me for a loop. I think I was at the point of a novice, unlike your CEO. I just caved in and decided to talk through the process, and it did not go as well as it could have. That was actually one of my first meetings of that type. I think there's a lot of depth to what you're saying and what your boss had to say. And I think it's critical to know who you are and how you operate, where you're willing to compromise. I like how your CEO said, even though this person doesn't want this, it doesn't mean that that person doesn't need to see this.
Exactly. It was a really powerful moment for me. And since that moment, it really put things into perspective for me of trying to figure out who I am as a person and as a professional so that I can best communicate that to other people. Because I immediately bought into the idea that giving someone the clear option of choosing to work with you or choosing not to work with you is the goal. It's not getting them to say yes. It's giving them a very clear choice. That's what I took away from that. And that's what we really focus a lot of what we do at my company. It's a lot on what I focus on, how I am with my company, with colleagues, with clients, is just doing the best I can to be as true to myself and my skill set and my offerings as possible so that other people have the opportunity to make a choice for themselves, as opposed to trying to trick them or tell a story that maybe isn't as genuine as perhaps it should be.
Part two, even the captain cleans. If you've listened to past episodes of Unlabeled Leadership, you would have picked up on themes about leadership principles. The most popular ones are believe in others, connect with others. But there's another one that sometimes comes up, but less frequently, and that's put others first. In this story, Zach touches on this principle. Again, here's Zach.
One of my favorite stories about leadership is in the sport of rugby. Now, I am a huge sports fan. It really doesn't matter. As long as there's some sort of competition and preferably a ball on the field or the court, I'm very happy to watch it. I spent a couple years in South Africa and became very interested in rugby. In rugby, you really have a few real dominant teams and a bunch of really good ones. But the one real dominant team that everybody thinks of is New Zealand. And they're called the All Blacks. And there's always this conversation and almost mysticism around, how can a small country of 4.5 million people be the best at a sport that is played by countries with tens and tens of millions of people? How can they compete on a global scale and win three World Cups? Them and South Africa are the only two countries to have done that. their win percentage is something like 77%, which is more than any team in professional sports history. There's nobody in any sport anywhere in the world that wins that much. And so there must be something to this. And so there's tons of books about their culture and about their leadership. When people talk about what makes them great, it's this one idea that they have of how their captain and their coach lead their team. It's an idea that they call sweeping the shed. And so the shed is like a slang term for the locker room. And basically it started where a really famous player, he's since retired, named Richie McCaw, he's the captain of the All Blacks. Him and a coach and a couple other people were in England. They just won at Twickenham, which is like the place to play rugby in the world. They had just beaten England, who's a very, very good team. And we're hanging out in the locker room. Most of the people had left and they're having a beer and they're looking around. And the locker room, they said in their words, was a pigsty. It was completely destroyed. There was mess everywhere. And so the captain and a very famous coach and a couple other of the leaders on the team got up and cleaned the entire locker room. And in the middle of it, the cleaning staff from the English cleaning staff at Twickenham came in and said, no, we'll do it. And they wouldn't let them. They started taking pride in the fact that they had this opportunity to leave their opponent's locker room in a better shape than when they got there. And it became this mantra for the team and still is, where it's called sweep the shed, where there is nobody who is above doing the hard, gritty, on the ground work, not the captain, the very famous captain, not the very famous coach. And in fact, it is actually a privilege to have the power to be able to leave something in better shape than where you found it. And that's how that team leads. It's a privilege to clean up the locker room after the game is over. And a rugby locker room is no pretty place when a game is over. It's a privilege to be invited by the captains to clean up everybody else's mess. And that's something to me, I think about all the time, about one, not being above any sort of work, particularly if I consider myself to be a leader. And two, to understand that I have tremendous power to be able to leave a place in better shape than when I found it.
A small part of it is just an ego check. It seems that there's so much more to what you're sharing.
The ego check part is actually one of the main things that the All Blacks will say is a part of sweep the shed.
Okay.
You cannot be as successful continuing to grow and learn and to win over and over again without having your feet on the ground, without making sure that you do not feel that you are above any other person. Especially in New Zealand, they say not above any other person on your team, but not above also the sport and the ancestors in the sport who came before you.
Someone in a corporation at the executive level is getting ready to go home, say at the end of the day in an office building. They walk by a conference room and they see a bunch of people stuffing envelopes and putting things together and goes in and says, hey, I'm making this up. He goes in and says, hey, what are you guys doing? Well, we're trying to get all this stuff ready for tomorrow's whatever. And he stops, takes off his coat and starts working because they were behind. It's kind of like a similar thing of sweeping the shed where this work is not beneath you. Everyone steps in when they can, no matter what level they're at.
I think that's right. And I think it's also, I mean, the way I think about it and applying it to my professional life and even my personal life is how can I expect anybody else to do the gritty, least fun work if I'm not the one willing to lead the work itself? Like, how can I ask anybody in my company to do something that I wouldn't really want to do myself or that I feel that I'm above or that I have time for? I just don't see that as something that is a long-term strategy in building like a really cohesive, dedicated, loyal team. You know, and I listened to a bunch of your episodes before, and I love some of the stuff that's being said. And I think one of the themes is that being a leader is not that you're above anyone. It's actually the opposite. It's actually putting everybody else above you and supporting them so that they can shine and being someone that can help them do that. And when I think about sweeping the shed or the analogy that you just gave, it's being really intentional of showing everybody else that, one, this hard work is something and this gritty work is something that I've done before. And it's something that I'm not afraid to do now. And not only that, I'll be the one to lead it, and you can join me.
Part 3, the 5-word ask. In my book, What the Heck is Leadership and Why Should I Care? I have a simple formula for learning leadership. It's learn, do, assess. I may change it to learn, do, ask, which sounds a little simpler. Zach advises us in a particular way that we can work on that last part of the formula, ask or assess. His technique is simple, but it takes some courage to do it. Here's Zach.
I think about two things when I try to be a leader or when I look at other people that I admire because of their leadership qualities. One of them is that they seem to have a really strong sense of who they are and what they have to offer. And the other one is that they're vulnerable. I used to think of vulnerability as a showing a weakness, and I've come to learn and understand and strongly believe that it is a serious sign of strength. I mean, we work with organizations and thought leaders to help develop platforms for them to speak about certain topics and things. And what we work with our partners to do and what we try to do internally and what we try to help other people with is to understand who they are. But it is very hard to do a self-analysis. I mean, it's why we have counselors in the world, thank goodness. But like for me to sit here and try to dive into who I am, what my traits are and strengths are and my principles, and I can probably get halfway. And so what I always recommend that people do is send a text message to 5 people and ask them, if you were to describe me in 2 sentences or 5 words or whatever format is most helpful to you, how would you describe me? So maybe someone who is really close to you and you think knows you very well, and then maybe like a good friend you see occasionally, but maybe doesn't know you as well as some others, someone you work with, someone you'd like to work with, and then maybe the most random person you can find that you think will actually answer this question. And when you get that back, to look at it and see which things you want to identify with, which things you wish you didn't identify with, and to really try and own that. So really try and own the descriptors and some of these values or principles or definitions that people are using to describe you, to really own the things that you admire in those descriptions. That will then help you present yourself in a really clear way so you can give other people a very clear choice about whether or not they want to work with you. And that could be a client or someone on your team.
Going through that exercise would really help to develop your first point where you build your strong sense of self. It sounds like a great technique for getting that started.
I've found it very helpful. And I've also found that the people that we've advised to do this had really good responses, and not necessarily good because it's all positive. It's just, they found it was really helpful. People have a really hard time or have a harder time of saying nice things about themselves than they do about finding what our own weaknesses are. We're just more reluctant to admit where we're actually doing really well. And by asking people outside of yourself and maybe even outside of your immediate network, there's going to be some commonalities there. And those commonalities, it'll help you allow yourself to embrace them. Like some of these strengths that you have, it'll allow you to embrace those strengths and then to really focus in on those and make that part of your identity. For me, when I think about that it's helped me be the type of leader that I want to be. And I've seen it help other people be the types of leader that they want to be. And I think the other thing is about being vulnerable. I personally, I have come to learn that I'm a very sensitive person. I was once told that everything should enter into your body and you should divert some things into your brain and some things into your heart. And I think that is wonderful advice, except for me, everything enters through my heart. So I don't know how to not feel everything that happens to me. And rather than try and fight that, I've tried to learn to embrace that, because a lot of people will tell me that I'm sensitive for, you know, whether they mean it as a compliment or not. I don't know, but they'll tell me that I'm sensitive. And so rather than trying to say that I must be a big, tough leader and show people how to be strong by not being sensitive, I try and be vulnerable about the fact that I am sensitive, so that I allow or I make space for other people to be sensitive about their own things. And there was something that happened at the end of last year that it was like a big national event that really kind of stirred me up a bit. And so we had a meeting in our company, and the only thing that I said was, I'm really shaken by what happened. I've made time with my counselor to speak with them in about an hour. And if anybody is having the same experience that I'm having right now, please understand that you're not alone, and to try to make time for yourself to deal with it and to work through it. And since that moment of me just telling people that I was struggling with something and that I was seeking help, since that moment, multiple people in our company have come to me with a similar experience since then. So that they were experiencing difficulty with something and that they were seeking help and that they wanted some space to be able to deal with that. And because I believe they felt that it was a safe place for them to have these kinds of conversations and to put these things out into the open. And I've just been really proud about that fact. For a leader to be vulnerable and just actively open up without an expectation of some sort of solution or action, I found that to be very beneficial for me.
Isn't it ironic that when someone says they have to be tough, that it actually hurts how they connect with people? But when someone is willing to be open and share, not only does it help those people with a difficult situation like what you just described, but it also builds a connection and a way of relating to you that you could not have if you were just trying to be the expert and the invulnerable type of a person or have that facade.
I think the word that you used, connection, is extremely important. The more vulnerable we are and the more open and honest we are about who we are and what our feelings are in a constructive and appropriate way, the more we're able to connect with people. And I mean on a real level. And I think that's what you were getting to. And that's why I want to call it out. That's the most important thing that we see in life and in business. I mean, we have really great clients that we connect with. Not that we, you know, yeah, we like their work. We believe in them. We believe in what they're doing. But first and foremost, we connect with them. The people that work in our company, we connect with them. Through those connections, you can develop really important things that drive meaningful relationships like trust, value alignment, care, loyalty, things like that, that are really important for like fruitful, long-lasting relationships. But it's that connection that's at the heart of it. And the more we're open, the more we are, to your point, able to connect.
My thanks to Zach Giglio. If you'd like to learn more about Zach, go to the show notes. And if you have a question or comment, go to unlabeledleadership.com. Leave a voicemail for up to 1 minute by clicking on the message icon. I'd like to thank those who contribute to the show. Your contributions make a difference because this is an all-volunteer service. Lastly, I'd like to thank you for listening. This is Gary DePaul. Until next time, lead on.